These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 30, The Atomic Disintegrator. Hello. Welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Ed, and 1,000 miles over there to my left is another host, Mr. Stephen Orr.
What is happening?
Not much. So, we're finding out that perhaps you and Doug have a little bit more in common than we've already.
I feel I need to address that. My son, who is 20, also autistic. He's a high functioning. He's no longer living in the house. He has roommates. So yeah, we got something in common, Doug.
Cool beans. Not cool. Well, you know what I mean.
I will say real quick. I've mentioned it before on other shows. I've never officially had myself tested or diagnosed, but based on what I grew up seeing in my son, my wife agrees with me. I'm definitely probably on the spectrum.
Well, you are even higher functioning then.
Yeah.
Than your son. So
there's certain things that you kind of learn.
Sure. Alrighty. Today we're looking at the Atomic Disintegrator, which appeared in Action Comics number 21. This was written for us by Jerry Siegel. Penciled by Joe Shuster, inked by Paul Cassidy. Now, Action Comics 21 has a cover date of February and an approximate on-sale date of December 27th, 1939. So we're starting to get a little bit wider spread here with this one.
Yeah, but that's dates, two issues of Action Comics in 1 month.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That information comes to us from Mike's Amazing World of Comics.
Love Mike.
So here's what happened. This synopsis is from the DCFandom.com. Definitely throw that out because we have started finding good synopses on other sites. So we can't assume, we have to accredit appropriately. Yep. Now living in the body of movie star Dolores Winters, see last episode, the ultra humanite uses his feminine. Uses his feminine wiles to lure, then abduct atomic scientist Terry Curtis. Terry being male, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Terry Curtis. Yep. A lot of gender going on here in just this sentence.
Yes.
Humanite forces Terry to build him an atomic disintegrator, mounts it on an airplane, and uses it to blackmail the city of Metropolis. Superman gets involved. Well, of course he does.
Right. Superman just decides to do nothing. Story's right.
He
over.
Ignores this one. End of story. Action 22. Superman gets involved in all this partly by accident when Clark Kent gets blown up in an early test of the weapon, but inexplicably survives and meets Terry Curtis in the process. Superman defeats the air attack and finds Ultra's secret base hidden inside a live volcano. But the well-prepared ultra-humanite has rigged the city of Metropolis with an atomic explosive device. Ultra blackmails Superman into committing some high-profile supercrimes and to defeat the police and National Guard several times in the process, but ultimately Superman is able to destroy Ultra's machinery, rescue Curtis, and blow up the ultra-humanite's volcanic lair. Steven, what did you think about that one?
I freaking dug this one. This one was great. I mean, from the moment I read the title, because I put all these show notes together before I read everything. Now, full disclosure, I haven't actually finished this story yet. I was, I'm about five pages away when we started recording tonight. So I haven't officially finished it, but from the title of the story alone, Atomic Disintegrator, right away, I'm like, all right, we're into some fun stuff.
Yep.
You mentioned the pronoun usage, the gender pronoun usage there at the, in the synopsis. They kind of did that in Action 20, obviously, when we thought it was Dolores and then found out it was Ultra Humanite. I think Superman at one point, once he learns, he still refers to her as him. But at least at the point where I got, he was referring to Ultra as her in this mm-hmm. issue. So I really like that. It's like, all right, they've just accepted that Ultra is now a woman.
Right.
I don't think that they would mess around with that back then. I think they'd just be like, we're not going to even just mess around.
Right. No, it's straight.
It's a woman.
It's a man. It's a woman.
That's the way it's going to be.
You're going down the line.
And I did make some notes. The last note I have is for panel 64. So that's about as far as I got.
Okay.
But some of the notes I put was, maybe Clark shouldn't have written the article because this is another one of those issues that just starts right out with action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the splash panel at the opening is the building exploding and a wall falling on Clark.
Yeah.
And, you know, he pulls himself free. There just happens to be a guy there in a white lab coat who's like, follow me and I'll give you first aid. And then, of course, we learn that this guy, apparently in his apartment, is developing an atomic disintegrator, which I find really funny. The scientists don't seem to be working on government grants in a lot of these issues. They're just doing a lot of this stuff on their own.
Let me jump in here. I just received via email my official Red Cross CPR first aid certificate today.
Nice.
It's not the first time I've been certified. Mm-hmm. I have to do it for work. But it's particularly pertinent because this is very fresh in my mind. This is not how first aid works. It doesn't work with the follow me and I'll give you first aid.
Right. Get up off the ground and walk this way.
Yeah. Come over here. We'll go inside. We'll do, you know, no,
good point.
Yeah. I just sat through this class. That's not how first aid.
Yeah.
Okay. I will qualify. It's not how first aid works now.
Right.
Okay. I can say that now. So, yeah.
I did take some very remedial CPR classes at work because I'm a member of leadership.
Right.
And, they're like, you know, the first thing you should do is find, you know, go call 911. Tell somebody to go call 911. Then you, could you get up off the ground and follow me up these stairs? And we'll wrap some bandages around you.
I'll check you out over there. Yeah. If you'll come over here and I'll see to you over here.
But this guy, you know, he's a 1930s man with slick back hair and a pencil thin mustache. You can't trust somebody like that.
I dig his white. Is that a single breasted? Is that what that's called? With the button on one side?
It's like the Star Trek movie uniforms,
right? Only in white. He's not a red shirt.
But it's through this accident that Clark learns that this guy is doing these experiments and has discovered what could be one of the most powerful weapons in the world in his apartment.
Responsible for this building falling on Clark to open the story. So
and Clark's only admonishment is to say, I'd suggest that in the future, you be more careful. You don't destroy yourself or innocent parties. And then goes back to work and writes an article up about it. And who should read the article? But the Ultra Humanite, who's like, this sounds interesting. I should get me one of these.
I need an atomic disintegrator. Yeah.
And she uses a poor cat to, you know, sticks a cat in a fence so that she can lure this Terry Curtis guy over to help her with this cat. And then my favorite part is when Clark comes to check up on him later and he's brushing his hair with two different brushes.
Yes.
Says, yeah. Says, I'm to meet the loveliest girl in the world tonight. She resembles Dolores Winters, the actress. And Clark ignores it completely until later, the next page, when he
panels just, later. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like in a car in a cab, and he just suddenly goes, it occurred to me this girl resembling Dolores might possibly be Ultra. I may be wrong, but I want to warn Curtis at once.
Well, who,
love that.
Who else could it be if it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, and of course, you know, the Ultra shows up at Terry's house or Terry's apartment that's now fixed up. I guess he got a new place.
Yeah.
Kidnaps him, puts him aboard a fantastic auto gyro, which is pretty awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Puts the atomic disintegrator on an airplane. Love that. Actually blows up a building. This is, it's like at this point, Superman's finally getting to that level. Cause there's a couple moments I wrote down that, you know, first of all, evil, genius, mad scientist, brain in the body of a woman destroys a building. Check. That's awesome.
Right.
we find out that her hidden lair is in an extinct volcano's crater. Check. That's pretty awesome. In a glass sheathed city.
Forgot some equipment though.
What did I forget?
The autogyro.
The autogyro.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And the persuasion via the torture ray.
Yes. Yes, the torture ray. That's right.
Torture
ray. I'll do anything you say, only turn off that light. The torture ray never fails. Yeah, which, that's great.
At first, you know, as I'm reading, I read what he said, and I'm like, the light? They're hurting me with the light.
And the light is really bright.
The torture ray never failed. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and then extinct volcano, hidden lair underneath a glass dome, basically, and huge metal robot guards.
Yeah,
this is everything I've wanted out of Superman.
We're starting to get it all in one story. All the biggies here.
Yep. And Superman, of course, destroys the two. He calls them huge metal robots, but they're the same size as him.
Yeah, as him. They like you would think of like robot guards or something. You know, they just.
I mean, when they were running at him and he's saying, what the? Huge metal robots. I'm like, yes, finally, Superman's going to fight giant robots. But apparently he's used to much smaller robots.
Yeah, that's so.
But when he gets to the lab, the evil lab.
There's a man slash size joke in there somewhere. Because right, yeah. Superman. Yeah, so, okay, sorry.
Terry tells him, you know, not to come in because Ultra has rigged up a photoelectric beam across the room. If Superman breaks it, the city of Metropolis will be automatically destroyed. That's some next level stuff right there.
That is.
And then
Ultra isn't playing anymore. She's serious.
No, yeah, she's I love her. I didn't really care much for the Ultra Humanite in his first couple of appearances. But by this point I'm just in love with this character.
Yep.
And so what she does, you know, cause he's like, I'm not leaving without Terry. And she says, okay, well, I'll give them to you, but I need you to go steal these crown jewels. And then he's like, all right. And he takes off. And the first thing she does is call the police basically and narcs on him.
Yeah.
And so like the National Guard and the police, they're all waiting for him. They shoot at him with a cannon. That's about as far as I got.
First off.
Yeah, first thing they do,
they see him.
Yep.
They don't. Let's see. They don't even. No, they do talk to him. Come down from there.
Come down from there.
They say,
and then bam, and then
they shoot a cannon at him.
Yeah.
And it's one of these World War One kind of cannons.
Oh yeah,
it's as far as the style.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, it doesn't hurt him. I don't think it hurts him really, but he's standing on top of a telephone pole or a power pole. And basically they blast the top of the power pole and he comes falling down with the debris.
Now looking at the next page, I'm really excited to see him hanging from a ledge. and B, somebody attacking him with an axe from a window.
Yes. Yes, sticking out the window to attack him from inside the building. So
this issue has it all.
Apparently they knew that he was going to be there. Somebody, you know, it's like, well, why is the guy, who knows, but he is.
Oh my goodness. And then the next page, they drop a safe on him. Come on.
From the roof.
That's something that the National Guard has set up. They drop a safe on him from the top of a roof. That's.
And Soup catches it with one hand. He's
pow, whatever. They must think it's Christmas the way they toss gifts around. Yeah, and throws it right back up at him.
Because what he does is he hefts it up to the roof again, and the soldiers scatter because now it is coming at them up over the roof. Yeah.
Oh, and then this guy here thinks he's going to take Clark out or Superman out with a bayonet.
With a bayonet, yes.
Yeah, this guy was not paying attention, apparently.
Nope. He dangles him over the edge of the building and says, tells the rest of the soldiers, you know, tell them to leave me alone or I'm going to drop you. And the sergeant says, do as he says, you fools.
So fill me in.
Brings the soldier back and Superman gets away by diving down through the skylight. Of course, all roofs have skylights in the city.
They really do.
It's standard. Really so he jumps down through the skylight, which takes him to the room where the jewels are. But the police are waiting for him. He completely ignores them, goes over to the big safe and starts ripping the door off and everything. Now, this is what got me. He goes inside the safe, right? He's rummaging around for these jewels. In the midst of, we're told, disregarding tear gas and rapid fire machine guns, Superman battles his way to the crown jewels. Now, wouldn't anything that he grabs up be shredded? But I mean, you can see these Thompsons by 5, 6, 8 guys on the outside just shooting into the safe.
That's awesome.
And then to escape, he just goes over here and just goes through the wall.
It looks like he doesn't have a head. He just goes head first into that wall.
Into the wall, yeah, to get out through the wall. Now, when he gets outside, the Air Force is waiting for him there.
Oh, my goodness.
So it says, as Superman's figure emerges from the building, waiting airplanes swoop toward him, firing full blast. Now, we already know that Superman doesn't fly yet. He just jumps. He leaps and falls. So, to avoid these planes, Superman outmaneuvers and loses them amidst the fleecy clouds. Now, if that doesn't say the man flies, I don't know what else they could say.
What it tells me is that these pilots have no idea what they're doing, because all he has to do is jump into a bank of clouds and they're like, oh, my goodness, he's disappeared.
And he can't hang up there forever.
No.
You know, the laws of physics still apply if all he does is jump. So
it's like, just give it 5 seconds, guys.
He's going to come down. But they
give it 5 seconds. He'll come out from the bottom of these clouds.
They completely lose him. So now he heads back to the volcano, jewels in tow, hands him over to the, or is getting ready to hand him over to the Ultra Humanite. But Ultra/Winters springs a trap. And it is a box that springs up from the floor and surrounds him on all four sides. And it has diamond drills in it, drilling him going to impale him.
Here are the crown jewels and here's your reward. Diamond drills. So it's a double cross, eh?
And with a surge of his powerful abdominal muscles and the diamond drills, hardest substance on Earth, are shattered. Wow. A surge of his powerful abdominal muscles. Oh, comma. And the diamond drills, hardest substance on Earth, are shattered. Okay. I get it there. I read that weird. Sorry.
And then here comes a guy in a tank top with a shotgun. Again.
No, it's not a shotgun.
Oh, it's a disintegrator. Okay.
It's a handheld disintegrator.
Wow. Man. Sweet.
Yeah. So he tries to shoot Soup with that and he knocks him out. This other dude, who I don't see where he came from, I guess he's just another lackey, basically, grabs up Lois.
Is that Terry?
Or no, yeah. I'm sorry, that's Terry and that's Miss Winters. Slash Ultra. My bad.
She's trying to get to the Switch so she can destroy Metropolis.
Right. Since Superman's not doing what he's supposed to, you know, he's not being defeated. So here Superman takes that disintegrator, the handheld disintegrator that he has, and shoots that control panel that Ultra was trying to flip the switch on, getting rid of that threat. So as he is demolishing the lair, Winters slash Ultra jumps through a window to escape.
Into the volcano's crater.
And essentially that's the last we see of her.
Well, Superman, look, he's throwing rocks down on top of her.
Well, no. he's throwing rocks to get the volcano to explode.
Oh, goodness gracious.
To destroy the city. The lair, which works. That's exactly what happens. Terry in tow takes him back, delivers him. Well, leave it go at that. Forget you ever succeeded in disrupting the atom. Right, because it was an atomic disintegrator. Right, and then this is what launched me down a brief Spectre rabbit hole. Was this advert probably his first appearance in More Fun Comics 52, which came out within a month or two before or after this?
This may be my favorite Superman story thus far.
All right, it was a good one.
Really
it was solid.
It just kept amping up. Every time you think that it's not going to get more exciting, it just gets more exciting.
Yep. Yeah, this I think really put up until now, the Ultra Humanite has been persistent, you know, but this one, last issue and this one together, which almost is a continuation of the story. But it, Ultra really jacks up trying to get at Superman.
Which is really kind of funny, because if she just would have taken the jewels and let him leave with Terry, she'd still have a lair. But nah, she has to try to kill him. And it leads to the, well, we have to assume, they're making us assume once again that Ultra is dead.
Is gone, right?
But nah.
But yeah,
the next question is going to be, okay, so I remember when we were talking about the Ultra Humanite a couple episodes back and how we know that at one point, I don't know if it's pre-crisis or post-crisis, the Ultra Humanite is a big gorilla.
A big white gorilla.
Yeah. So here we have the Ultra Humanite having his brain transplanted into a woman's body. So is that how he becomes a gorilla?
I think so. I think I remember reading that it was his brain that had been put in that body.
Interesting. Wow. So now the big question is going to be, when are we going to see the Ultra Humanite again? And will he still be Dolores Winters or somebody else?
Let's see. Bad news. Spoiler. You want to hear spoiler?
Yeah, everybody, this is a spoiler for this, 80 years ago.
This is the last time we see Ultra for a while.
Okay, well.
But in two issues of action, in two issues, we see the first appearance of his real archvillain, Superman's. So
Lex Luthor?
Two issues, he's replaced by the big guy.
It's very interesting when you think about the fact that the original version of Superman, way back when Jerry Siegel was just writing prose stories for his own self-published magazine, and Joe Shuster was drawing the pictures, you know, to just illustrations, just, you know, simple little illustrations to accompany the story, that the original Superman was a bald man who was basically super smart and used his powers for evil, basically. And his first big villain, you know, once we get the Superman the way he is, you know, once they start making the comics, his first big villain is a bald guy who is a super evil genius, you know, and then that guy goes away and they replace him with another super evil genius bald guy.
Bald guy. Yep.
What is their deal with bald men?
I take umbrage with that, whatever the issue is.
You should be offended by that. I think what Schuster and Siegel were trying to say is that bald, first of all, means super smart. So you got that going for
you. Okay, I'll take that. I'll go with that. That's
but it also means evil.
Bad guy, right? Yeah, that one I don't cotton to. I'm not.
You can't trust those bald guys. Not only are they super smart, they're shifty. They're evil. They're going to use that smart to take over the world.
Yeah, makes me feel a certain kind of way about my person. You know, I don't think I. Yeah,
not cool.
Now here's something interesting. I pulled up the Wikipedia entry. Take that as you will for Ultra, and it says. The Ultra Humanite was reintroduced during the Silver Age as a recurring villain in the Mr. and Mrs. Superman feature in Superman Family. Okay. Mm-hmm. That title was published from 74 to 82. Wouldn't that make it Bronze Age?
You know, I know that the very little research I've done on the various ages in comics, the Golden Age, of course, Golden Silver Age, their start is very uncontested. It's like, this is when it started.
Right.
You know, this is when the Golden Age started. Silver Age started with like Green Lantern in
39 to 56, I think is usually where but see, for me, I usually consider 70 to 85 as the Bronze Age.
Yeah, that's what I've always.
But that was just, that's right in the heart of that.
Yeah.
And they were saying Silver Age. And I'm like, I don't.
I do know that the start of the Bronze Age is fairly contested.
Yeah. And that's fair.
Same with the Modern Age, I think.
Yeah. There were certain earmarks that happened at one company. And then like 3 or 4 years later, they started happening at the other company. So exactly, Doug. That's exactly what that is.
Doug's pointing out the bald slander.
I'm offended. Like I said, it makes me feel a certain kind of way with my person. And that is not appropriate. I deserve better than that.
That's right. To fight against that bald oppression. For me, when they talk about the Modern Age, though, you know, when folks talk about the Bronze Age and how it ends around 85, 86, for me, because, you know, that's when I started reading books, and I still, it's hard for me to think of that time being so long ago that's Modern Age for me, you know. Right. When I started reading comics, that's when the Modern Age began. But
well, plus, let's throw in the fact that your personal Golden Age occurred around when you were, what is it they say, 7 or 12?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, your personal Golden Age. Yeah. So, but yeah, just the dates. I thought that was just kind of late to be saying that was in the Silver Age.
So are we not going to see, we don't see Ultra Humanite again until the Silver Age? Is that
until that book, Superman Family.
Okay, so
when he starts appearing.
That's it, folks. You probably, you know, unless
he's gone for about 40 years or so.
Yeah, unless Ed and I can manage to keep this podcast going for 40 years, we're probably not going to talk about it.
Right. We may not talk about the Ultra again, but that's okay because we got a biggie coming up to take his place.
Yeah, we may have to. If we hit, I'll say it here. If we hit 100 episodes, maybe for episode number 100, we'll skip ahead and we'll look at that first reappearance.
The next Ultra Humanite. Okay. Yeah. Because he is our favorite villain. And so
he was Superman's first evil genius arch nemesis.
To celebrate that, we will. Okay. Yeah. We'll pull him out of continuity like a monitor. And
that's right.
Ooh, there's a throwback or a deep dive there, throwing out the monitor. Sorry.
Yep.
I've been reading that too, along with, here on the show and John Wilson talking about it. And
I finally, managed to finish what I would consider the first draft of the next episode of Event or Else.
Okay.
And in fact, my plan, if you listen to episode 299 of Just Another Fanboy, I said, it's going to be like three more weeks before I do episode 300. So during those 3 weeks, I'm going to do like a best of clip show, each just three of those. Well, I'm still not done with the first one. And I'm like, I'm not doing two more of these. This takes too freaking long. I've started and stopped that stupid episode four times. And so at this point, it's like, all right, I'm invested. I'm getting this one done. And then the next 2 weeks, I'm just, just another fanboy. I'm going to focus on getting that episode of Event or Else out. Cause, I really want to finish Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I'm just, I look ahead to what other events I got coming up and I want to get to them. So I want to do some Secret Wars 2. I want to do some Millennium.
Don't script. Just do it off the cuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and look through the book.
If it was an audio podcast, if it was just an audio podcast, if I wasn't doing the whole video, because the it's a video show is what it is. It's just there's also an audio version of it as well. So that's why I script it, so I can try to keep the episodes concise and tight. And that's the only reason I do it. And unfortunately, scripting involves writing. And I've always been one of those writers that I could go 6 months writing the crap out of stuff and just vroom, 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 vroom. And then it just ends. I just hit a wall and then I'm like done for 2 years. You know, it's really weird how that works for me. Cause I sit down and I'm like, all right, I'm going to work on this script. And I go, and I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
You know? Oh man, this sucks.
Yeah. I just can't do it. So yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm good, sir.
Yeah. The best action comic story so far, I think. Yes. It really checked off a lot of boxes for me.
I agree.
And the fact that I didn't even finish it and I got to finish it live as we were recording. That made this episode a little bit more special. Episode number 30, folks, on a very special episode of the Superman Super Show.
Okay.
All right, wrap it up.
I think this ending bit is yours, isn't it? Since I stole the last one.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
Oops.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, ask us a question, or just provide feedback in general, you can send an email to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. You know, I can't help but think back to an episode of Boom Addiction where Chris was talking, he was reading that, you know, that ending of the episode and talking about the email. And then he got like, really, nobody's sending us any emails. You know, he was like really kind of jokingly upset about it. And I think that's when I sent that email, the only email I've ever sent you guys.
Yeah,
I think about that every time because nobody has sent us an email. But that's all right. You can find us on Twitter under the handle @SoupsSuperShow or come join the fun over on the forum at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. All those links will be in the show notes. And so until next week, folks, I'm Steven and that's Ed. And this was the Superman Super Show. Bye.
Ciao.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
All right. We ready?
I'm ready.
Do this.
Yes, sir.
So this will, hold on. Let me turn that comment off. All right. This episode will go out on the 28th of November. And then the very next day, episode 300 of Just Another Fanboy.
Cool. What are you talking about?
G.I. Joe 300.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. I figured, I started my very first comic that I owned for myself was a G.I. Joe comic. So,
okay.
Seemed fitting.
You do a 300 on 300.
That's right. Yeah, I did a Action Comics 100 for my 100th episode, and I think I did Amazing Spider-Man 200 for episode 200.
So. Okay, cool. There you go. You got a theme. Yeah. You're trying to make it all difficult and everything.
I know. That's right. Exactly. Theme. I know. I'm my own worst enemy.